Blog Talk Radio. Hi, Shalom, good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Sword Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Mashaba. I am one of the teachers here with the ISBHBK. That's the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, located here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at our location, 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard, Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. We're trying to be consistent with our classes every Monday through Thursday from 8 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Again, that's Monday through Thursday here at the school. And we're trying to get our schedule back together and being consistent with the our morning blogs, our classes that we have going on also as well. As you know, also, we started selling oils at the New Mexico State Flea Market, the Albuquerque Flea Market, located at the New Mexico State Fairgrounds at the Expo. The State Fair Expo. We're at lot number 399. Right? We are at lot number 399, and we're out there every Sunday pushing the literature and selling oils to help the process of what we have going on. So we invite you to join us again every Monday through Thursday here at the school, 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. Monday through Thursday, the evening classes for sure, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. As you know, we also have our brother classes in Houston, and that's ISBHBK Houston, which is located at 8524 South Brazier Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77071. We have the zip code out there. As you know, they have classes on Mondays and Wednesdays, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And again, all these times I've given you are local times there for their location. So in Houston, starting at 7 p.m. Houston time on Mondays and Wednesdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And also on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And then also on Saturdays, the Sabbath class is from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can catch them also on the YouTube channel, ISBHBK Live. All right, you can catch them on the YouTube channel, ISBHPK Live, whenever they broadcast their classes. Again, that's Mondays and Wednesdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And again, on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the Sabbath class every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. As you know, you also catch their website, which is isbhpk.org. That's isbhpk.org. We ask you for all the YouTube channels that they have going on from ISBHPK Live. We ask you to like, share, and subscribe. Also to the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. Like, share, and subscribe. And then on Sundays, they have ISBHPK Kids. Again, we ask you to like, share, and subscribe to ISBHPK Kids. And also Kazakia's 5 Minutes of Wisdom. Kazakia's 5 Minutes of Wisdom. Like, share, subscribe. Hit the notification button on your YouTube channel access as well. As you know, on Tuesdays, they do the public access cable show on Comcast, Houston Cable Channel number 17. Comcast, Houston Cable Channel number 17, every Tuesday, starting at 8:30 p.m., called The Hidden Truth. All right, The Hidden Truth, every Tuesday, 8:30 p.m., on Comcast Cable Channel number 17, if you happen to be in the Houston metro area. If you're not in the Houston metro area and don't have access to the Comcast Houston Cable Channel number 17, you can go to hmstv.org. Now you can log on to hmstv.org every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m., Houston time, Tuesday, 8:30 p.m. Houston time, and catch the show, The Hidden Truth, our long show called The Hidden Truth. As you know, to help fund a lot of the different ministries that we have going on, especially there in Houston, and to provide employment opportunities for young men, they have the fragrance company put together called Sweet Ambiance. All right, the fragrance company put together called Sweet Ambiance, which is located at First Colony Mall there in Sugar Land, Texas. We ask you to patronage, to check them out for your latest in fragrance, body oils, and essential oils and aromatherapy products. Check them out. That's Sweet Ambiance. Also, you can go out to the website, sweetambiance.com, if you'd like to make any purchases there as well. And again, these are employment opportunities that are being provided for young men to be able to come in, learn a skill, but also help their nation, help spread this truth. Sweet Ambiance, located at First Colony Mall in Sugar Land, Texas. For the sisters there in Houston, they also have put together a small little business. tailoring business, garment business called Israelwear. You can locate Israelwear at Israelwear on Facebook. There you can get your latest in garments as far as tunics, as far as the priest robes, as far as, and one thing they do that's really kind of spectacular or special that I'm seeing is the camouflage uniform, matching pants and shirts with the fringes. They really are going to town on that right there, as well as any, what do you call those, polo shirts or whatever, with the garment attachments. Beautiful. That's a business adventure to put together to help help keep everything going there in Houston. As Israelwear at Everything Israelwear on Facebook, if you'd like to get in touch with them. If you'd like to help with any donations or financial support, they have a Wells Fargo account set up, and that's ISBHBK, Wells Fargo, and the account number is 101-5806-167. If you'd like to leave any tithes, priest funds, or offerings, that's the Wells Fargo account. ISBHBK 101-5806-167. If Google Wallet or Google Pay is a little more easier access for you, their Google Wallet address is isbhpk@gmail.com. That's isbhpk@gmail.com. And as you know, if there's any other donations that you'd like to help out the Houston camp, as far as school supplies, pens, pencils, papers, computers, encyclopedias, Bibles, Bible dictionaries, biblical maps, computers, laptops, please contact Priest Quatazop. Please contact Priest Quatazop, area code 303-557-8979. You can get in touch with him there in Houston. As you know, they just opened up a brand new school there, also in Norfolk, Virginia, and that's Priest Kazakia. Their school is located at 2610 Grambley Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 25517, being the zip code there. And they do their classes every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. All right, they do their classes every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday, again, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So there's an ISBHBK class every night of the week that you can log into and check out on YouTube. All right, you log in and check out on YouTube. We ask you also to like, share, and subscribe to ISBHPK Norfolk. All right, like, share, subscribe, hit the notification button for ISBHPK Norfolk on your YouTube channel access. All right, they also have a sweet ambiance cart set up as an employment opportunity for young men. They're in MacArthur Center Mall. They're in Norfolk, Virginia. Get in touch with the priest Kazakia at area code 281-707-2737. For any employment opportunities you might be interested in, and a young man that need employment, please get in touch with Brother Kazaki out there in Norfolk. And we do provide employment assistance for brothers seeking work and employment there in Norfolk. All right. In San Antonio, ISBHBK San Antonio, also known as the Sword of Truth, located 4219 Centergate Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 78217 being the zip code there. And they have classes every Tuesday through Thursday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. And again on Fridays from 8 p.m. to 11. We ask you to go to the school for the contact information or class schedules as they have going on there. They have, again, Eastern Fragrances set up to help in employment opportunities there in San Antonio for young men, located at Indian Park Mall, South Park Mall, and Rolling Oaks Mall. You can get in touch with them there. Again, for your latest in aromatherapy, essential body oils, and fragrances, get in touch with Eastern Fragrances, Indian Park Mall, South Park Mall, or Rolling Oaks Mall. As you know, also as an employment opportunity, they also have On The Mark Moving. And you can locate them at onthemarkmoving.com, being the website there. For any moving needs you might have, commercial, residential, office, storage, or recycling, we ask you to get in touch with onthemarkmoving.com. Also through their Facebook page, the Facebook channel at On The Mark Moving. You can get in touch with them there as well. Or you can reach the Brother Sam Shawan at 505-387-9609. All right, if you have any moving needs. And these brothers are doing I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but interstate travel. All right, they've had some big moves all the way from San Antonio, all the way to South Carolina, They're back and forth to Dallas all the time. So if whatever movie needs you might have, get in touch with Brother Sam Swan or onthemontmovie.com and to arrange movement arrangements at very reasonable prices. They can take care of you. The sisters also have a garment facility set up there in San Antonio, and that's Israelwear San SA. I'm sorry, that's Israel SA. Also on Facebook for any latest garment needs you might have. Get in touch with them. If you'd like to make any donations to the San Antonio camp, that's isbhbk@yahoo.com. Being the Google Wallet or Google Pay way of getting in touch with them, that's isbhbk@yahoo.com. You can always get in touch with Priest of War and the Ire, War at 210-862-2643. Know that the word in the Ire means youth. So that's where you got when he was a youth. But Priest of War at 210-862-2643. And again, also you always reach your Brother Sam Swan at 505-387-9609. Here in Albuquerque, you can also get in touch with the brothers at the Weird Creation Ancient Temple Number 1. The Weird Creation Ancient Temple Number 1, located at 6609 Lomas Boulevard Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110, being the zip code there as well. You can reach them on their website at www.wayofcreation.com. Again, their website is wayofcreation.com for the study of self and study of life, all right? Meditation, contemplation, and self-transformation. Get in touch with Brother Ari Ashimar, area code 505-410-3048. That's 505-410-3048. Or Priest Del Yad at 205-305-9855. That's 205-305-9855. Also here in Albuquerque, the metro area, if you have any handyman needs, we ask you to get in touch with Brother Ashwajaza at area code 505-218-4218. That's area code 505-218-4218 for any handyman needs that you might be in assistance or need of. Well, all those announcements get out of the way. I'm joined by my two brothers in battle, my two brothers in arms, as well as my children that we've been fighting the battle here in Albuquerque for the past going on 4 years. Brothers, introduce yourselves. Right, and these brothers have been some pillars and foundations here in helping keep the ISBHBK Albuquerque going for everything that's been going on through the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the struggles, the fight, the battles, the temptations. These brothers have been putting in their brick, been putting in work for us continue doing what we do here in Albuquerque. So I'd like to give them a heartfelt, to Wild and heartfelt thanks for all the work and sacrifices and struggles that we've endured and going through and trying to keep this going, trying to make this work. Well, all that being said, brothers, what's happening? What's going on? We are getting started late today. The flea market is really taking a toll on me, which is a good thing. Being out there in the sun, standing, talking, greeting, being active in that way, it's taking some adjustments. But one thing I did not want to do is let another Blog Talk morning go by without giving the Most High praise and honor by coming in and honoring the contract I made with him that we was going to get his word out to his people. All right? I didn't want my infirmities or my weaknesses and flaws to stop the word of the Most High from going out. So that was one reason I didn't even get a chance for my fringes on. It was like, if you don't get up now and move, it's not going to happen. All right? And this is about pleasing the Most High. Real quick, somebody give me Romans 13:1. All right, get in the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 1. Yes, sir. Thank you. I bought you Hawada, one of my 12-year-old sons here. Read that strong and loud, son.
Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are...
I'm sorry. It's Romans 12:1. I called the wrong chapter. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I'm sorry.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable.
Good job, son. Good job. Great job. Now, can you read for one more time? We read it once. Let's read it for edification now.
Romans chapter 12, verse 1.
Good job.
Beseech you, therefore, brethren.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Go ahead.
By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice.
All right, that we present our body, by the mercy that the Most High has given us, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Read on. All right, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy to the Most High, dedicated to the Most High, which it says is our reasonable service. All right, that it's reasonable for us to present our bodies as a reasonable sacrifice. That for the mercy the Most High has shown us, for the mercy the Most High has given. And that, again, let me get the Apocrypha, Baruch chapter 4 and verse 4. All right, let's get the Apocrypha, Baruch chapter 4 and verse 4. And then we're going to get 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 also. But right now, Baruch, B-A-R-A-U-K? No, B-A-R-U-C-H. Baruch, and you can abbreviate that B-A-R, bar, you know, B-A-R, chapter 4 and verse 4 is what we want to get. And then I need the next reader, please give me 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, after we get this one.
Ruth chapter 4, verse 4. O Israel, happy are we for things that are pleasing to God and are made known unto us.
All right, one more time now. We read it once. Let's read it for edification.
Ruth chapter 4, verse 4.
Israel, and we are definitely Israelites now. Go ahead.
Happy are we.
It says, happy are we. That we're supposed to be happy in what we're going through right now. Go ahead.
For things that are pleasing to God.
For things that are pleasing to God. How to please God. Things that are pleasing to God. Go ahead.
Are made known to us.
Are made known to us. How do we please the Most High? How do we go about our daily lives and please God? All right. We know that from John chapter 4, verse 24, he says that you worship, you know not what. That a lot of people make sacrifices, a lot of people do things trying to please God, but they haven't done any study to know that what they're doing, the things they're doing, our behaviors, our actions, what have you, is that really how God wants to be worshipped? Is that really how God wants to be acknowledged? But as we as Israelites, then now we're finding out as Israelites, what things, what behaviors, what attitudes, what actions actually worship God? What actions actually please the Father? And that, again, for the first scripture we just read, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it let us know that we're supposed to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Most High. That from the mercy that's been extended to us, from Yahweh Shai dying on the cross, Jesus Christ dying on the cross, shedding his blood, actually losing his life, actually dying to give us a chance, give us one more chance to make it right with the Father, to give us one more chance to get back right with God, that we've been given a lot of mercy, that we've been extended almost an immeasurable amount of mercy from the Father, that we as Israelites have a chance to once again make things right with him. That sacrifice and what was done by Yahweh Shai, by Christ for us, cannot really be measured. So it's our reasonable service to come now and please the Father, to break ourselves, to please God. I know I call 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, but let's get Psalms 51, 16. Let's get that real quick. Let's get Psalms chapter 51 and verse 16.
P-S-A-M-O?
That's a good one. Or you just put P-S.
P-S-A-M-O?
as an abbreviation. We're going to Psalms chapter 51, verses 16 and 17. Psalms chapter 51, verses 16 and 17.
Psalms chapter 51, verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, wilt thou slay? O God, thou wilt not despise.
All right, cool. So let's read it. We read it once. Let's read it again now for edification.
Psalms chapter 51, verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice.
It tells you, David, one thing that David understood, King David, and David's relationship with the Most High was so special, so great, that the Most High promised David that through your seed, through your loins, through your lineage, through your bloodline, your family tree, I'm going to bring the anointed Savior. I'm going to bring the chosen Savior. I'm going to bring the last Savior for the nation of Israel through your seed, through your lineage. That was the relationship that King David had with the Most High. And one thing David understood in their bond, in their relationship, is that the Most High didn't require sacrifice as far as it was just about this killing of animals. It was just about the killing of sheep and of bullocks and of turtle doves. That really was not the sacrifice the Most High was after. Right? That's not what it was about. Right? David understood this. I should read it one more time.
Psalm chapter 51, verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice.
The Most High desires not sacrifice. Go ahead.
Else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings.
And it wasn't really about the burnt offerings. It wasn't really about the thousands of bullocks. It wasn't about the 10,000 rams, the 20,000 sheep. David understood it wasn't really about that. Go ahead.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
The sacrifice of the Most High that he's looking for is what?
Broken.
Are you breaking yourself? Are you breaking your mind? Are you overcoming your flesh? Are you overcoming your emotions? Those are the sacrifices the Most High is after. Those are the sacrifices that are pleasing to the Most High. All right? So again, it says what? The last part again, please.
Psalms 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
The sacrifices of the Most High are a broken spirit. Go ahead.
Broken and a contrite heart.
A broken and a contrite heart. Can we get the definition of contrite?
Contrite. To break or bruise.
It's got to be able to fit into the scripture so it makes sense. It's got to, when we read the scripture, I know I always say it technically, read the definition. But the definition that's the best one is when you fit it into a sentence with the scripture. And so it makes sense. But it's not just the technicality of just read the definition, because if it doesn't make sense, to when we read it in the scripture, then why read it? Then why confuse the gospel more? Why confuse things more? So we want to get that transition going where, yes, I did say let's read the definition, but we got to be able to fit it in to the scripture so that not just only you understand it. We are broadcasting, and I have my 12-year-old sons here that it's not just about you get it. Can we make sure others get it on a milk level? So it's not just about the race to, let me make sure I read it first. Let me make sure I get it out, because I'm going to make sure I just read my definition. If we're reading the definition into the scripture, it's got to make sense. If not, then why even read the definition? If it's just going to add confusion and it's not going to give edification, then just reading the definition doesn't matter. Does that make sense, brothers?
Yes, I have a really good Merriam-Webster.
And again, we're making sure one good test is, are my 12-year-old sons going to understand from the definition you read? Are they going to understand what contrite means as it relates to this scripture, as opposed to just reading a definition? So let's try it. Let's practice this.
Okay. I'll read Psalms chapter 51, verse 17, and insert this. Psalms chapter 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and feeling or showing sorrow and remorse for a sin or a shortcoming heart. So a heart that, again, the definition is feeling or showing sorrow and remorse for a sin or shortcoming. So the sorrow is you feel really bad for something you did and feel real remorseful. That word remorse is also in there. And that means you're really sorry for something that you did, an offense that you committed, whether it was by accident or whether you did it on purpose and you just really didn't stop to think about the consequences or whatever. But you're really sorry. You feel really bad for crossing the line. You feel really bad for an offense that you committed, for a sin that you committed. So that's what contrite means. Contrite is like a contrite heart is an earnest heart that really feels bad for something bad that they did or for an offense that they committed. That's pretty simple and to the point right there, I think.
Ask them.
Do y'all understand that? Do y'all understand how I just explained it? Do you?
Yes.
I don't.
Yes.
So explain it then.
Sin is explaining what the definition, what the words and contrite mean, and he's explaining the definition and how it's supposed to fit in scripture. What are you doing this? The way I understand it is, he's going to read the definition inside the scripture for kids who haven't heard this word and their vocabulary get to understand what it means.
Good job. So he did that. So what do you understand now?
So I understand now that contrite means feeling sorrow, right? Feeling sorrow or I think it's a deep in your feelings?
Yeah, remorse. Sorrow or remorse.
For what?
For doing the sin.
We're doing something wrong, right? Does the Most High like when we feel bad when we do wrong?
Wait. Yes.
Yeah. He likes that. All right? That's what he does like. That if you do something wrong, you're supposed to feel bad. Okay? A lot of people are, because we have such a religious American mindset, looking at God and Jesus, we walk around feeling like we're supposed to always feel elated and always feel tickled and always feel like on the verge of euphoria. And if I'm not feeling that, this can't be the truth. I ain't feeling that it seems that all I ever do when I come around the Bible is keep showing what I'm wrong at, keep being showing what I'm wrong at. And I don't feel encouraged. But we're understanding, if we read the Bible, that if the Bible is showing us things we're doing wrong when it comes to God, if the Bible is showing us that we're doing things that don't please Him, the fact that I feel bad is supposed to be a good feeling because now I can correct it. But we've got this real religious, worldly, childish almost mentality that I'm supposed to be tickled every time I open the Bible. And if I'm not tickled, I don't feel encouraged. If I'm not tickled, I don't feel that you're trying to really build me up. I don't feel like you're really trying to be there for me. That all that's ever happening is that you tear me down. But if we were actually reading the Bible, we would see what? That the sacrifices of the Messiah are what? A broken and contrite spirit. That you're shown where you've been doing wrong with the Messiah. So now you give shown what pleases the Messiah. But we find a lot of people be like, well, if I can't just do what I want to do the way I want to do it, and you're not going to support me on that, I don't know if we're a part of something like this. That if God's not going to accept my sacrifice and the way I choose to sacrifice and the way I choose to do things, then, and you're obviously going to show me in the Bible that that's not pleasing God, then why do I want to keep going to class? Why do I want to be around that? You're not there for me. Hold up. How am I not there for you, but I'm showing you what pleases the Most High? The Creator. How am I not there for you? Because all you ever show me is where I'm wrong. So you can correct it. So that you can go to heaven. Yes, son.
People are complaining because of the chariot.
I'm sorry, say again.
People have been complaining because the chariot
got true.
Just give it time.
Good observation, son. And because, again, that's a great point. But people get upset because they're being shown what it takes to please God. And have these thoughts and feelings that if you're not just making me feel happy and tickled and comfortable in everything I do and telling me that the way I'm doing things pleases God and it doesn't, then I don't want to be around. We're not studying. And then when that influence hits us, I feel discouraged and weak and depressed and lethargic and no energy and slothful, because I just don't have this feeling. Where are you sanctifying the Most High in your heart? Where are you cleansing your thoughts to know that what you're doing and how you're doing things is pleasing to the Father, so that you might be able to endure and continue and find the strength to push on. All right. Let's finish verse 16, 17 one more time, please.
Psalms chapter 51, verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it.
Because a lot of people be like, well, I make the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, I just be chilling on the Sabbath. Because that's what the law says. Okay. But is that really a sacrifice most I was looking for? Is that really the depth of what the Most High is really looking for? You know what day the Sabbath is. You still do your pleasure on the Sabbath, but you know what day the Sabbath is. Is that really all the Most High is looking for? Is the Most High that shallow? One more time, sir.
Psalms chapter 51, verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
The sacrifices of the Most High are a broken spirit. Read.
A broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise.
The Most High does not despise that. That you're showing the wrong you've been doing and you feel bad about it so that you change. So that you repent. For it to motivate you to do better with the Most High. From there, let's get 2 Corinthians 4 and 1. From there, let's get 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1.
Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have the ministry, as we have revealed mercy, we felt not.
All right, let's read it one more time.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have the ministry.
Seeing then that we have this ministry.
Ministry, as we have received mercy, we thank God.
One more time, son. You did a great job with that. Let's read it for edification now. Saying that we have this ministry.
This ministry, as we have received mercy.
We do what?
We faint not.
We faint not. I am curious. What's the definition for ministry?
Ministry. The work or vocation of a minister
I'm sorry, it says what now?
It says the work or vocation of a minister.
Anything else? I have from the Webster's 1828. It says the agency, service, and aid. The ministry is the agency, the service, or the aid. There's agency, or there's service, or aid. Therefore, then, seeing we have this service, therefore, we're supposed to provide this aid. As we have received mercy, we what? We faint not. That we have this job to do. We have this service to do. And by giving this job and this service, we have to understand that we're being given what? Mercy. That this is the Most High's way of providing us mercy. That we can come back and now serve him, aid him, and do the things the way he likes it done. That this is the Most High giving us mercy. That he's revealing to us how he wants to be served. He's revealing to us how he wants to be aided. He's revealing to us how he wants to be ministered to. And that in doing this, we're not supposed to faint. We're not supposed to give up. We're not supposed to be like, it's too much. It's too hard. I can't handle this. Why me? We're supposed to understand that we're being given mercy to be able to come back now and aid and serve God, the Creator, the Most High, the way he wants to be.
I got a good definition here.
Okay.
This is from the Free Web Dictionary. Ministry, the act of serving.
Fit it in. Received.
Received mercy. We faint not.
Read it one more time with the definition.
Ministry. The act of serving.
Therefore, see, we have this act of serving. As we have received mercy, we faint not.
That we receive this act of serving. We receive these acts. That these are the acts that the Most High requires. These are the actions that the Most High requires. And that for us to be given these actions to serve him, we have received mercy. That we can at least, there's something now we can do to gain his favor. There's something now we can do to get him on our side. And these are the actions. These are the behaviors. These are the attitudes that he's looking for, and the actions that he's looking for. That's mercy. And in getting that, we're not supposed to faint or become weak or become feeble, become exhausted, that I can't do the actions that the Most High requires. I can't do those things that please the Most High. It's just too much. If we're in that mentality, we're not understanding the mercy that the Most High has given us. We're not understanding the chance that he's given us to make things back right with him again. Yeah. So like yesterday at the flea market, how hot was it? Was it hot? With the sun beating down pretty heavy?
Yes.
Makes you want to quit?
Well, I didn't.
But why do we keep pushing?
Yeah. What's
this says what?
Because
That's a good one.
Most
he'll be happy.
Yeah.
That when it's hot and we want to quit, I want to sit down and give up, but we keep pushing. The fact, the most I see that we keep pushing, even though we want to, it's hot, we want to quit, we want to give up. That's the most I like when we do that. Is the Most High going to bless us because we go ahead and keep doing those things? Yes. So when we're tired and I want to just lay down, I want to sleep, I want to chill, but I go ahead and get up and we push anyway, we're doing that to show the Most High what?
Yeah.
Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for letting us be able to show you we're sorry for what we've done to you. We apologize for the sins we've done. So we're going to go ahead and do this to show you how bad we feel. It's not because I can make it real easy to a Sabbath picnic. That's easy. What sacrifice is there in going to a Sabbath picnic where I'm eating, drinking, and enjoying myself? There's not. People have barbecues all the time. Ain't got nothing to do with the Most High. But now we go out there yesterday in that hot sun, tired, having to stand up, keep calling people, keep saying hi. Got people trying to make us stop. Got people trying to, vendors trying to say, no, you can't do this, can't do that. The fact that we keep going, the fact we keep pushing, and I'm tired, I'm hot, I'm thirsty. We do those things to show the Most High what? Thank you. Thank you. And by doing that, that pleases the Most High. Today, very tired this morning. And my body, I did not want to be here. I was going to say, no, we're going to quit. But then I was like, no, we got to push. We have to fight through. We have to endure. Because the Most High has given us mercy. You want to say something?
You know, out there, you know, coming off with broken legs, ankles, and stuff like that, my foot swelled. Your foot swelled and stuff like that out there, all the other people doing that. And I remember when Paul says, hey, take this away from me, this thorn that is sanctified in my thigh. And he goes into somebody giving St. Corinthians 12:9. St. Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9.
I'll read that real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. I'll read it again. Are you guys there?
Yeah.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
So, just in that, hey, that's where we get our strength from. You know, in our weakness, in our infirmities and stuff, we're supposed to glory. We're supposed to take it jointly, so that the power of Christ may rest upon us. So that way, we have that power, that strength, you know, and to keep on pushing through. No matter what it was, because I know, I imagine. I'm out there, I'm limping around, my foot's swelled, I want to sit down, prop my leg up, get it back down so I can move on, but that's what Most High, he likes to bruise us and sacrifice us, make us suffer, because we're called to suffer. You know, so in this, he's saying, hey, no, I'm not going to take that away from you, I'm not going to take that thing from you, that infirmity from you, I'm giving you my grace to make this, for you to get through this.
And a lot of people look for that superhero power to come upon them or what have you to get through. So I got to take the super serum pill. I take the the magical Red Bull drink, and it's had this power to endure, but that's not what it's talking about. When Christ gives us the power, is when we think about his example, that is supposed to give us the strength to keep enduring and keep pushing through. No different than somebody might, for the sake of a woman, I got to lose this weight so my woman will like me. So when this man is wanting to lose weight but wants to give up his diet, wants to stop working out, what gives him the energy or the power to push through to lose the weight and get fit?
He's being motivated by that woman that he's trying to impress.
Exactly. So when I want to give up, I don't want to do no more cardio, I don't want to do no more weightlifting, I want to eat whatever I want to eat. What's giving him the power to overcome his flesh, his thoughts, whatever it is he got going on? What's giving him the power to endure and get through? That woman. It's not like she gives him and touches him with a sword on his shoulders. You now have the power. No, it's because he wants to please her, right? Or exactly.
The Lord, I feel you now.
No, the televangelist type of thing. That is not what that's not what it's referring to. It's not that type of party. It's if you really want to please the Most High. And you think about what Christ went through for you, how he endured for you, then you'll push through. And that will give you power. But we get into this superhero to televangelist type of mentality that I got to be, that if somebody stops you with their sports suit jacket, that now that's going to give me the power. I'm going to start speaking in tongues. I'm going to run around the church and have the power now to get this done. That's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. It's the fact that I'm thinking about Christ's sacrifice, and I'm thinking about how he endured and pushed through to please the Most High. And that if he can do it, when it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I'm not going to take a magic pill and get all this energy and this adrenaline and this testosterone running through my body to have me endure. No, I'm studying, I'm thinking about his example. I'm studying, thinking about what he did and the opportunity I have to now make things right with God. And that is what's supposed to give a person the power to push through, the power to endure, the power to make it. No different than a man right now, not brothers, but males, or at the gym right now working on that six-pack. We're going to bicep curls.
Usually,
kind of
crazy right now. A lot of people
trying to do it. And why are most men doing it?
To impress
a female. So they'll be disciplined about their diet. They'll be about their work. Even when their body is sore and the body wants to give up, why are they able to push through? Why are they able to say no pain, no gain? Why are they able to say pain in your body? Because they're motivated, inspired for that woman. They can find the energy to overcome the fatigue, the energy to overcome the tiredness for who? That woman. Then we should be able to do the same thing for the Most High in Christ. Let's finish this up. I hear the timer going off. Let's finish this up this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's start at verse 8. I need a good, strong, fast reader so we can wind this up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's start at verse 8. It says we are troubled on every side, but not distressed. As having this ministry, the ministry of this agency of service, this aid to God, what did Paul reveal to us? That when you're in that ministry, that agency, that occupation of serving God, verse 8 says what?
We are troubled on every side.
We are troubled. We have this ministry, we have this work, we have this service, we are troubled where?
Yet not
we are
yet.
We are troubled where?
After trouble.
Trouble. On every side.
Damn, everywhere I turn, there's this trouble. Everywhere I turn, there's this problem. Everywhere I turn, there's something else going on. Are you studying? Because we have this ministry, we are what? Now, is this the Apostle Paul speaking? Is this the one that Christ chose on the road to Damascus? Is this the one that pretty much wrote the whole New Testament? So to look at some of these TV evangelists today that have life easy, Paul, a true follower of Christ, said what? And having this ministry, we are what?
Troubled.
Where?
On every side.
On every side. Reading on.
Yet not distressed.
Yet not distressed. That's the point where forget this ministry. I'm done. It says, read on.
We are perplexed.
We are perplexed. We have a quick definition for perplexed.
Puzzled.
Can't figure things out. Why is this happening? Reading on.
But not in desire.
And despair.
Despair.
But not in despair. Not towards the point where I'm going to quit the work of the Most High because I got to work on this problem. I'm going to quit my service and aid to God. I got this problem. I'm puzzled about this. I'm distressed about this. So I need to leave the work alone so I can go handle my business. So I can get my head together. The teaching's got to stop. The work's got to stop. The being out there in the hot sun for the Most High Christ, that's got to stop. I got problems. I'm tired. It's too much. Verse 9.
Persecuted.
Who don't have bills? Being chased by this bill, chased by this problem. Persecuted. Go ahead.
But not forsaken.
But the Most High, as long as we keep working, the Most High is still going to be there. Read it on.
Cast down.
Cast down. The work I'm doing is for naught. It doesn't matter. No one in my family acknowledges it. Cast down. Go ahead.
But not destroyed.
Read.
Verse 10. Always.
I'm not going to do it, but it says, when? Always. Always. What?
Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus.
I'm supposed to always be reminded Christ is sacrificed for me. That at what point was Christ's life comfortable? At what point was Christ's life convenient? Reading on.
That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body.
That the life also of Jesus, Yahweh Shai, might be made manifest in our bodies. Read.
Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest and our mortal flesh.
Read.
Verse 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you.
So it seems like we're dying all the time so others might be able to what? Have life. And this is what Christ did for us. He died so now we can have a life. So now what do we got to do?
Die.
Die and serve others so they can live. All right. So as we get back on our Monday, today was Monday Morsels. I think that's what I titled it. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in this morning. And we do plan on having class again tonight. Most eyes will. We invite you to join us. All right. And with that, let's go out and be great. Let's go out and please the Most High as we fight to be the examples of Christ on earth and on a planet that doesn't think about Christ. All right, so with that, my name is Mashaba.
Hi, Mark.
It's Alathon.
I'm Gloria Howard. I'm Daya Allah.
We would like to say shalom.
Shalom.